I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua is a man who took over the leadership of the people of Israel, the Hebrews, after Moses died. He walked with Moses throughout the years in the wilderness. He learned, he was privy to many of the conversations that Moses had with God. He was groomed to be a leader. We also understand that Joshua was more than a leader of the Hebrew nation, but he was a leader of his home. A leader of his home. Today, as we look at some of the last things that Joshua had to say in his life, the challenge should be for us to consider, what is it that is my desire, my passion, my resolve for me and my house? I know that there are competing influences in our life. That there are things in our life that want our attention, want our affections, they want our allegiance. And so often we will go after them with great passion and zeal, sometimes saying, "This is only for a time. I want this, I need this." But we do so leaving behind a passion to serve the Lord. You see, in the Christian home and in the Christian dad and the Christian mom, there should not be a conflict. There should be one mantra, one motto, one purpose in your home and in your life, and that is this: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. So Joshua chapter 24, last chapter of the book of Joshua, he is nearing the end of his life. I'd like you to follow along with me as I pick up in the chapter in verse 14. Context tells us that Joshua is communicating to the people of Israel, reviewing for them all that God has done. All that God has done in their lives to bring them to this point. They are in the promised land. God has granted them great victory. Verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, You cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law, and took a great stone, and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And then it records his death. The account of Joshua begins with God seeing this need. Joshua needed confidence. Joshua needed an assurance. Joshua needed a courage. So keeping your finger in Joshua 24, go back to Joshua chapter 1. And I want to just remind you of where Joshua was, from where he came. Because I dare say there may be men here today that serving the Lord in our day and age is a terrifying thing. There is a great amount of people and a culture that is against you. Perhaps you at work have tried to serve the Lord, and I pray you are, but you've encountered great hardships. It's been difficult. God has called you to be a leader in your home and in the culture and in the church. Lacking confidence, you're not alone in that. I may often will lack confidence. And I got to tell you that this is a regular part of a battle that is inside of me. My wife knows this, and she can tell just by the way I sigh that I'm battling in my heart, that I'm lacking a confidence, that my faith is under attack. This morning was one of those times, and this is what she shared with me. She said, Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever thou goest. It's in Joshua 1:9. Let me read it again. This is for you, men. This is for you, women. This is for you, young person. Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord, Jehovah, thy God, is with you whithersoever thou goest. Well, the call for us is to serve the Lord. to make that choice that it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And what is it that's going to help us and to be a strength for us, enable us to be able to do this? It's the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord in our life as we go from place to place and as we live and abide in our homes. God is with us. You see from this text that's what God uses to encourage his servant Joshua. I mean, he tells us, be strong and of good courage. And these are commands that we can tell, and I can tell you, say, be strong, be courageous. I can tell you that. And we could tell our sons that. But what's the strength and what's the power? It's that we have a mighty God who will never forsake us. That's the power of such commands as be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. It's that idea of when you encounter a snake in your yard and you're with your children, and the snake is one that is dangerous. And your children know that. And you stand there and you say, don't be afraid, and you walk away. And your children like, what? They won't have a confidence to stand there. But when you stand there, you know how to give them a safe distance. You know how to walk them through and guide them through being safe with this dangerous snake and enjoy it. And they have a confidence because, you know what? Dad's there. Now, that's just a small little example to show us that in life, our God is with us, and his presence is the strength that we need to be able to have courage, to have strength, and to not be afraid. You see, Joshua needed that encouragement. And perhaps you do too today. I could preach on that last statement in Joshua 24. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then we could make a whole sermon off of that. But you know what? I believe it is important for us to realize that just man Joshua, what gave him this confidence? What gave him this resolve? It was the Lord's word, I am with you. The Lord thy God is with you whithersoever thou goest. You know what? This passage in chapter 1 is full of that kind of language. I didn't read it all, but I would like to, at this point, for you to see the whole body of truth. Joshua 1 verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people you shall divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. So he says, be strong and courageous, and then he says, I have an instruction that you are to carry out. I have given them this land. Only be, verse 7, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The emphasis of the law, and you need to be obedient to the law, Joshua. You're going to be successful. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Absolutely. All of these are wonderful things, but what is it that is enabling Joshua to have this power and this courage? It is the Lord's presence with him. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you whithersoever thou goest. It is the Lord's presence that will confirm over and over his promises. That God said, I'm going to give you this land. It is the Lord's presence with Joshua over and over that reminded him, you know what? God is with us. You know the story of the time when he didn't seek the Lord's wisdom, and he went into battle and was defeated. You remember that? He went into battle. He neglected to embrace the reality that God was with him. Neglected that. And what a powerful lesson that was. You see, understanding and realizing that your God is with you wherever you go is such a great power to you. It confirms his promises. He will keep his promises. Understanding that God is with you will confirm the importance of his word. God said the law. Remember the law. Meditate on the law, verse 8. Day and night, he says, that you may observe it. Understanding God's presence with you, it confirms the importance of his word in your life. You see, as you walk with God, you listen to him. You hear his voice. And how do we hear his voice today? It's through his word. As he speaks, his Holy Spirit takes his word and it ministers truth into our life, into our heart. But there is this great power of God's presence that unlocks this reality in your life. That God is with you. It confirms that God will keep his promises. It confirms that his word is important. It is, as you obey his word and meditate on it, brings success. And did you see this here? Did you hear? I mean, some people will take this that you're going to be wealthy and healthy. This is not what that's saying. Let's look at this book of verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall have good success. Prosperous and successful in whose sight? In God's sight, not yours. God's sight, not yours. And God has different meanings and definitions and time frames than we do, don't we? Doesn't it? The New Testament sheds a lot of light on this. In fact, doesn't it say those who live godly will suffer persecution? Yes. But even in that, we can live. We can have a way that is prosperous and you shall have good success. There's great power in understanding and knowing the reality that God is present with you. Did you know that Jesus used this same encouragement with his disciples? Go to Matthew chapter 28. This is interesting because here we have another time where men are being sent out. They are given a task. It is a big and large task. It is a mission to reach the world with God's truth and with the gospel. And notice what Jesus says. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And what? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. You see, there's great power in God's presence. And I'm not doubting God's presence, but you know what? Realizing it in your life. I know there have been days when I have walked through the day and I have not thought about the reality that God's with me. That God is seeing everything I'm doing and overseeing, protecting, and all of those things. Sadly, I know there's been days that I've walked through without thinking and meditating and realizing that. You know what? Those days should become fewer and fewer as we take this truth to heart. May we begin this day realizing, Lord, I wake up to you. Lord, I go to sleep and you are there. You see, the psalmist embraced that truth. And so ought we. I mean, what a joy it is to have a God who lives with us, within us, through this person of his Spirit, who never leaves us nor forsakes us. That's powerful. That is equipping and enabling for you and I to be able to go out into this world, out into the highways and the byways, and face whatever we face out there, and to know with confidence our God is with us. And so therefore, we know he's going to keep his promises, and we know his word is important. And so we go back to Joshua chapter 24. Understanding that Joshua needed encouragement. He needed a boost as he took over the reins of leadership. So Joshua chapter 1 affirms that for us. The Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. And so we come to the end of his life. And we see his courageous and confident exhortation to his people, to a people that have seen God do mighty things. And his call to them in verse 14 is to fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. You see, Joshua is speaking from experience. It's worth it to fear the Lord. It's worth it to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. I don't know about you, but I listen when men older than myself speak. God has given the church, and I praise him for this, people of all ages, of all walks of life. And what a blessing it is that we get blended all together in this place and we can grow and benefit from one another. I'm so glad that you children come and fellowship with us. I'm so glad that you young folks, you young married, are still coming and seeking, and you haven't just abandoned us for some other place where there's only young people. You see, we can benefit from those that have been experienced and gone on before. Yeah, they might not identify in every area of life, but you know, God has granted the church all ages so that we all might benefit and grow together. All walks of life, all different perspectives. I love that. I love that. And you have been a blessing in my life. And my small little view of the world has been expanded as I have had the privilege of knowing you. So Joshua, this man who's nearing death, speaks from experience and says, it is worth it. Therefore, you fear the Lord, you serve him in sincerity and truth. You put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt and serve you, the Lord. That is God's call for you and I today, to be men and women, to be families, to be children, who that is my call in life, to serve the Lord. To serve him. Joshua mentions the concept here of putting away the gods which your fathers served. For us to serve the Lord, it demands this action. Put away the gods, the false gods in our life. This is idolatry. Idolatry is that of placing upon the throne of your heart anything other than God, of the Scriptures. That you worship anything or someone other than God. This is a hindrance to your wholehearted service to the Lord. Joshua says, put away those gods. You know, at this moment, God may be pointing a finger in your heart to a God that exists in your life. You see, the Spirit is actively at work. And God's Spirit agrees with His Word. He uses His Word. And I believe that God wants to change lives today and change my life. And so, dear ones, listen, pay attention to the finger of God in your life. You know what it is, because when a pastor preaches messages such as this, you get this ting, you get this pressure in your mind's heart, in your mind, and these things begin to play, and you're like, ouch. Or I've got to deal with that. This is something I've got to work on. Listen to that. And dear ones, deal with those things. For it's God's Spirit that is confronting you and desiring you to put away that God and to serve Him. In Joshua 24:15, he continues and he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Don't overlook that word, choose. Choose. Who are you choosing to serve today? The way Joshua puts it here to his people, he's putting the reality that you have a choice to make. Who are you going to serve? And these are people that God, they were young, they came through the wilderness, and then they watched God provide and give victory after victory as they conquered the promised land, Jericho, crossing the Jordan. Time and time again, they saw God at work. And yet Joshua sees fit to put this question, this challenge, choose you this day who you will serve. Choose. Make a choice. Now you will notice that as they made this choice, this was not just some haphazard, okay, I'm going to serve the Lord. You notice they marked it? Did you catch that? If you look forward there in the chapter, verse 25, so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, took a great stone, set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, verse 27, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. This stone was set up in the public, in the presence of all these people, and it stood there as a reminder. This is sometimes called a memorial. It is something that is set and established that people recognize it has this specific meaning and significance in your life. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And make it, mark it. That memorial and all those who are witness to it proves as an accountability in your life that you have made a choice to serve the Lord. We know that Joshua really challenged the people. I read the text. You saw how he continued to ask them questions to make sure that they were clear in their decision and in their choice. Verses 19 and 20, this comes to a head as you see him say, "You cannot serve the Lord." And then think about this almost like a parenthesis. "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he has done you good." You see, Joshua wants the people to realize who God is. Who God is. Yes, his presence with you is a great strength. The question is also, do you know him and who he is? Do you understand his holiness? Do you know what holy God really means? A God who is completely set apart from all others. There is no sin. A holy, holy God. In our lives, at times, we can be tempted to allow certain sins and certain things in our life, and we'll carry them along for a while. It's saying it'll be okay, at a time we'll let them go, but I need it now. No. Our God is a holy God, and we have been called in 1 Peter chapter 1 to be ye holy as God is holy. He is a jealous God. He is a God that demands and desires all your affections. He will not be shared with any other. And this is why it is so clear that idolatry causes such trouble in a person's life. God will not be shared. Understanding that God has a hatred for sin. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ comes, and in Jesus Christ we find forgiveness of sin. That is why all of us are here today and able to stand and say we serve the Lord at all. Because of the grace of Jesus Christ and his shed blood, and in him is forgiveness of sin. But that does not discount the fact that God has a hatred for sin. The warning that Joshua gave to his people is that if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. The Lord has a zeal and a passion for his name. So what do you choose today? Men, are you able to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? Joshua recognized this call and this importance in his life. Joshua recognized the influence that he had over his home. "As for me and my house," he says. Men, you have a responsibility over your home. You set the pace. You set the tone. You lead by your example, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Your home is so often a reflection of you, of me. And may our home be a reflection of the grace of God in our lives, as we first make this choice. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That means I will serve the Lord. And that means I will take seriously my responsibility to lead my wife and my children in serving the Lord. I will seek God's face for His grace and His help in that matter. I will pray for my wife and my family, my children, that they would serve the Lord with me. But I am making this choice today. I choose. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is my resolution. That is the resolution of Joshua. As he encouraged and challenged the people. For they had a powerful future ahead of them. Wonderful promises ahead. And a powerful holy God right there. Will you make this your resolution today? Bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to know something. I know that this message was something that God wanted us to hear today. Church, listen to this. I share this with you because I want you to know the power of God. That message was from Him today, for this moment. It was not a message from me, but from Him. And you and I are experiencing even now the loving and gracious, but maybe firm, finger of God in your heart. Do you have a confidence that God is with you? That's the place to begin, because you may be here today and you might say, I am not sure what you're talking about, Pastor. I'm not sure that I've got a relationship with God to the point that I understand that He's with me all the time. Oh, I may believe that there is a God, but dear ones, listen. Even the demons believe there is a God. But the reality is that believing in Jesus Christ, He is God's promised Messiah, the anointed one who came to this earth. He's perfect, never sinned, and yet He went to the cross and died to pay the penalty for your sin and for mine. It is through His shed blood that there is forgiveness of sin. That's where you need to start. Because when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved, you embrace the reality He died for you and rose again, showing victory over sin and death. God's word says that His Spirit comes and dwells within you. And that's why we can say that God is with us and will never leave us nor forsake us. So you may be here today, you might say, you know what? I want to know Jesus Christ and that God is with me wherever I go. I want today to be the day. And I asked you that question. Is there one here today that you might say, you'd say, you know what, Pastor? I want to make that sure and clear today that I am God's child and He is with me and He is my Savior. Is there one here? Two? Three? Just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to speak with you further about this. So if you guys are confident that God is with you, that He is your Savior, then you understand that He is with you. That gives a confirmation that He'll keep His promises, and it confirms how important His Word is in your life. You understand that God is a holy God. will you make the resolution, as for me and my house, as for me and whoever is under my care and my responsibility, my influence, we will serve the Lord. It's good for us to hear messages like this every once in a while, because we need this prodding and this reminder. We have been called to serve the Lord. Put aside the idols. Put aside those things in your life that you worship. You know what they are. That's what's in your mind and heart right now. That's the stumbling block you're tripping over to make such a statement, I will serve the Lord. Make that your resolution today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God, I thank you for this message. And what a joy it is to watch you work in the midst of your church. This is yours. It's your body. Have your way in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.